Jimmy.
Yep.
There are like no good podcasts out there.
There are very few. None. I mean, really, it's just like ours. There's Doctrine and Devotion.
Okay, well, obviously, that's why we started.
That's right.
Because we needed to have a really good podcast. But then,
yep.
as we started putting our podcast together, we did discover a few
yes.
really good podcasts, and one in particular.
Oh, yeah. Put on by our man, DeWayne.
At Biblical and Reformed.
Yeah, the bar, baby.
You got to get, listen, because we only put out two podcasts a week.
That's right.
All right. So you need to supplement our awesomeness mm-hmm. with DeWayne's awesomeness.
DeWayne awesomeness.
So he has good guests on. He has good yes. conversations. So we were just on there.
Yeah, and it's what I like about DeWayne is that he's encouraging.
Yep.
He's honest.
He's real.
He's real.
He's handsome.
Biblical.
He's good looking.
Wait, what? No, what?
No, he is. No, you
yeah,
see
he
him?
Is, but why do we?
He's got like soft eyes and good hair.
I don't even know where to go from here.
Well, that's. I'm just saying he's worth listening to.
He is. But you're not going to see him. Why? It doesn't
oh,
matter.
Oh, no. I see pictures of him on Instagram.
Oh, fair enough. Follow him on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook.
Biblical and Reformed. It's a podcast, definitely, that you should subscribe to.
Later.
The Bar. Biblical and Reforming.
For those of us who claim Christ, our authority is the Scripture. For those who don't claim Christ or who claim another, I'd like for them to, we challenge them to explain a standard of truth apart from Scripture. Explain the nature of good and evil apart from the Scripture. You have no context, there's no justification for it, except for the whims of men. And so, man, we stand upon the foundation of the Scripture, sola scriptura, Scripture alone, man.
Doctrine, yeah, sola scriptura, Scripture alone. That means Scripture alone. What's your eternal situation for the age of creation? For he laid the foundation, was a plan for expiation. Christ became propitiation, meaning he switched his places on the cross for our disgraces. In the crowd, he saw our faces.
This call is being recorded.
All right, here we go. I'm going to do the countdown. We're going to get it. And 3, 2, 1. Welcome, everybody, to the bar. It's your boy, DeWayne, in the building. Super excited, man. I know I say that every week, but I just can't help it because I'm excited. Super excited to be in the building, man. Got my big homie, Big T Barlow, all the way in Omaha, Nebraska. What's up, Big Dope?
Oh, grace and peace. The same fight, different day, man. Just glad to be on line good. With you fellas, the fellowship, and get some good talking going through.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I get a little extra confidence, man, when Barlow's in the building, man. That brother right there, man. He got my back, man. I can honestly say that, man. Over the years, yeah. you've been holding me down.
Hey, man, by the grace of God.
Yes, sir.
You know, got you like a spinal cord. You know what I mean?
That's what's up, man. Well, I want to introduce this young man that actually met through the podcast and found out we were in the same area. Good, solid brother, Mr. Chitario Smith. How are you, sir?
Man, I'm good, man. It's a blessing to be here, man. I'm amongst the Giants.
Yeah, man. So, Chitario, big homie. You claim you're amongst Giants fam, but you know, we've been watching you. You are on the BND Elect panel. The jury's still out, but we got our eye on you, sir.
Oh, man. Listen, man. I'm just grateful to be a part of the fold, just to be even considered, man.
That's what's up, man. So those that's been listening, man, to the bar, man, we've been trying to build this thing. We've been trying to grow this thing. And we appreciate all the love and all the sharing and all of that, man. We've had some outstanding guests. You know, we had so many people to come through, man. And I just want to take time to just thank those folks out there doing their thing, man, and representing us. We got something coming up, fellas, man. We're recording this a week ahead, so next Tuesday it'll be the week right before, man. We got this big conference coming up, man. So, Barlow, what you thinking about this big conference coming up, man, this G3? What's your thoughts on that?
Basically, man, like, I'm crazy excited. I don't even know how I've worried. Like, because it is weird, man, because, you know, I've been wanting to go, but I didn't see myself having an opportunity to go until this opportunity came up where by the sovereignty of God, I guess six people bowed out and yep. these same six people were like, hey, you know, somebody could take our place. And I just so happened to be one of the, usually like when it comes to something like with the odds or like that you know, thin. Like, you know, mm-hmm. I just kind of just be like, oh, you know, I still ain't going. Even when you came and approached me about, hey, six people bowed out, might have an opportunity to go. I was thinking, man, ain't going to happen, but go ahead and enter my name. And then I think probably like a half, not even a half hour later, I hear from you again saying that I'm in there. And I was like, right. Oh, snap. And let me tell you, man, like I got to a place where it was like, all right, man, I'm not going. You know, I was like, I was kind of down about it. Like I was, feeling, yeah. I was like, I was in my feelings a little bit, and I was seeing everybody brag about being able to go, and I'm sitting there just like, man, why they got to make brothers covet over here? And it's okay. And, you know, and but no, I mean, man, I'm super stoked about it, man. I can't wait to get down there to see y'all. But unbeknownst to a lot of folks, man, Dwayne and I, we've been doing this for some years together.
Sure.
And we have yet to meet face to face.
Yep.
And, wow, I mean, yeah, awesome. Dwayne is probably a closer friend to me than some folks here in this here city. and we have never met face to face, man. And so, and that's just one of the things. I mean, the conference in and of itself, you know, saying that I'm excited about.
Right.
But like a cherry on top is being able to meet some people. Who I've met through faith, who I've been fellowshipping with maybe a year or in Chitario's case, a few days, you know, and actually just actually get it down to actually to for real sit down and have a face to face fellowship like that. I definitely need this. I think it's good for me. Right. I was at a place where I just where I feel like it'll just be reinvigorating and encouraging and so forth. So, man, like I'm excited, and then we ain't even got into the panel of speakers yet, man.
Yeah, he's back.
Yeah,
ain't gonna lie, Barlow, man. I was a little salty though that you got that free ride. I should have held out and got myself.
right.
Nah, man. Because you needed to secure and hold down some other things, you know. Because like you know, so like if you'd have waited for that, you probably would have never saw it.
Yeah, that's real. That's
you
probably, real.
You know what I mean? Listen, man. God know what he's doing.
I know. I had to mess with you.
He works in mysterious ways, they say.
Yes, sir. That's awesome. Well, what about you, Mr. Chitario, man? I know this is your first Reform conference. What are your, you know, just kind of general thoughts about this upcoming conference and what's going on with that?
Man, I'm excited, man. I've never been to a conference, number one, let alone a Reformed conference.
Oh, okay.
I'm super excited, man. I think it boils down to two things for me. I'm most excited about just being able to fellowship with you guys. I consider you guys brothers, so just to be able to fellowship with you guys and hang out in person, I'm really looking forward to that. And secondly, I feel like a needle in a haystack out here. Like, there's nobody that's Reformed out here. Like, mm-hmm. At least in the African-American circles, at least, where I'm at. So to be around other guys who are Reformed at this conference, that's going to be awesome, man. I'm very excited just to be poured into, to learn, man. I'm coming as a sponge, man. I'm trying to soak it all in.
That's what's up, man. That's what's up. And, you know... Excuse me as well, man. I'm so, I guess you guys use the word excited. I guess I don't know what I'm gonna say because y'all just stole my favorite word, but I'm just I'm speechless. look, I'm gonna pull a Chitar, you'll love this. I'm gonna pull a old boy from last night, man. I'm just speechless, man. Clemson Tigers won a national championship. Man. If you didn't know, I had to say that because Tatari is like this biggest, you know, Clemson hater and Gamecock fan. So, man, we ain't even gonna. I'm gonna mute him right quick, so there's no rebuttal to that. And I'm so excited, man. And basically piggybacking on what you guys said, the exact same thing, the fellowship, being able to meet you guys, being able to go to these sessions, man. I mean, I already looked at the schedule. I mean, it looks phenomenal, you know, who's speaking. And I mean, I'm just praying that everything goes smooth, man. And I'm just excited, man. So, you know, Barlow, it's a little turn, but it's still in the same stream or whatever, you know, because One of the speakers there, is Vody Bakum, and you know, like everybody loves Vody. You know, even if you're not reform, man, you know, you respect him, and you know his messages and stuff like that. So what? I guess I'm trying to figure out a good way to word this, but if you had the opportunity to sit with Vody, man, and ask him. You know, something, what would you ask him?
Oh, man.
That's a good one.
Wow, that's a good one, man.
Wow. Oh, man, that's a good one. Because, like, even when they just you saying, like, three or four different questions, some like theological, some
right,
not theological. Like, I would ask him as a brother in Christ on a homeschooling tip, because I know he adopts a lot of children. How does he manage that? Like, how does he manage his homes? Because I do that with my two children, and I think I make it look easier than what it actually is sometimes to some people, certain people. So I would ask him that. I would ask him, I would ask him how, like, what was his process through going through the different eschatologies and coming to a place to where he's a millennial. I would because that's been something that I've been trying to. Like, it's hard for me to sit down and focus on. I'll probably ask him some strategies on that. But mostly, I think one of the main things that I would do for him, without trying to sound like a fanboy, is telling him how much I thank God for him as a preacher. There were some things that he said that honestly left me a little uncomfortable. You know, I couldn't say amen. I had to say ouch. You know, I've already gone. You know, and I would offer him encouragement in that, in that respects, because I know what it's like being a preacher and feeling like the message that you're preaching, especially when it's the gospel, falling on deaf ears. You know, so I mean, but like I think I'd get down into the realm of just having an eschatological, and maybe even asking them what's it like living in Africa, man, because sometimes. Sometimes when I look at stuff like, you know, just this country overall, and I just sometimes I just want to be like, man, I wonder if it's better somewhere else. I wonder if that grass is actually as green as it look in another country. Well, I know he's been over there doing some work. Last I heard, so like I would ask him, you know, is that type of move. What led him to making that type of move, or what led to his decision, basically? How did he consider that to be a good move? How did it come up? What is it that he's doing over there? How is it going? And so forth. And I mean, I think I would just try to have a genuine conversation with him about different things. Just see where that conversation go.
Right. That's real. Well, you know, I subscribed to his emails, and about a month ago, he sent an email, you know, basically asking for prayer, because, you know, there was a lot of things that didn't go their way. You know, they had a security guard that quit, you know, and you had to have a security guard in Africa, because whatever area you're in, I guess it was high theft or whatever. And, you know, they was having water issues. So I can imagine he'll say, bro, make sure you're ready. You know?
Yeah.
Because it's real over there, man. Jatario, if you get a chance to see Paul Washer, would you be nervous that he sees your sin like Jesus?
Man. Listen. And the way, man, especially during football season, man, like, I don't think I can't Paul Washer, man. Paul Washer, man. If I got a chance to talk to him, man, I would ask him. My first encounter with Paul Washer was a sermon that he preached on the real gospel, on YouTube. And, man, I would just love to ask him, at what point in the gospel did it just change his thinking, and, like, how did he become reformed? Because, you know, I didn't really embrace reformed theology until about a year and a half ago, so I'm still learning every day, so I would love to just talk to him about that.
That's cool. You know, Paul Washer was born saved. You didn't know. I'm joking.
Nah, he wouldn't even say that. He'd tell you in a heartbeat. Yeah.
I know. But his standards are so high, though, so.
I bought a certain kind of tissue for when I watch Paul Washer on YouTube.
Yeah. It has to be a straight paper towel. A quicker, right, thicker, right. Picker-upper.
You better believe it. You better believe it. So, go ahead, Barlow.
No, I was gonna say, you know, was it the Shepherd's Conference where he, I don't want to call it the last great sermon that he had. I can't remember what it was, but I know it was like early last year.
I had to go
to Chicago for a funeral of my aunt. Now, mind you, this was my favorite aunt. The day before the funeral, I was watching. I came across Paul Washer's sermon. And I sat there and watched that sermon, and I kid you not, man, I shed more tears listening to that sermon than I did at my aunt's funeral.
Wow.
Wow.
True story. And it's not Paul Washer. It's the God that Paul Washer serves. I want to make sure everybody knows that we know and understand that. But I mean, like, man, I can honestly say I don't think I've ever heard a preacher preach that has had such a profound effect on my life. Like, I sometimes see Paul Washer sermons in my suggestions box in YouTube, and I just want to skip them because I know.
Oh, yeah.
That's real.
Because I know whatever it is he's about to say, man, it's about to cut. And it's just like, man, hold on, man. I gotta prepare. I gotta start off with something a little softer. Like, you know, let me watch Joel Osteen or something. Quick. I don't watch Joel at all. But I'm just, it's like, but nevertheless, though, when I know that I do need some, I mean, you always know that Paul Washer's sermon is about to be that deal. I mean, like, whatever the case may be, man, and it's never a feel-good sermon, but honestly, as crazy as it sounds, he can go in with some heavy-hitting stuff, and then you can come out with this blessed assurance that God is a savior.
Yeah.
And a redeemer, you know what I mean? But, like, man, I have a feeling that whatever it is that we're about to hear at the G3 conference, it ain't gonna be nothing pretty.
Right.
Hey, that's cool. I welcome it, brother.
Yeah.
So I guess to kind of turn the conversation to prepare for the little transition. You know, we us three gentlemen here are definitely. I guess you could say we're different when it comes to what some people consider the standard as being, you know, young black men that are reformed. And here's something that I'm noticing. And you know, if I had a chance to sit down with Vody, I definitely would ask his, or not, I want to say I would maybe see what his approach is to the conscious community. And the Hebrew Israelite, and also the reconciliation community, you know. I would love to hear his thoughts on that, man. And hopefully, Lord's willing, we'll have him on the show one of these days. But that's what I would want to hear. I would want to know, you know, because, you know, he's a great apologist. I mean, you know, wrote several books about it. I would want to know his approach to that, because I don't know about you guys. I'm starting to see all three of those categories more and more on social media. And I know for sure you do, Chitario. Anything you want to kind of, you know, mention about that, what you're noticing in trend wise?
Man, that I'm seeing a lot of there's a lot of just division, it seems like, where we're trying to, where I see a lot of guys that they'll call out a lot of people for reconciliation, but they do it in a way that brings division. And that's what I'm seeing a lot, man. It's like we can be divisive while trying to unify. And that's what I'm saying, man.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, I agree with that wholeheartedly. Like, it's one thing to call people to repent of apathy towards social injustice, but it's another thing to speak as if you're willing to separate from those people, as if they're, you know, unless they're, like, unless they're like saying the exact same thing that you're saying. You know, like, for example, you know, like if somebody isn't spending time talking about the sins of professing Christians of the past, then it's almost like, it's like, oh, well, you're, it's like you're dead to what's really happening. You don't, you're asleep. You know, you're not awoke.
You're not woke.
And it's, and it's like, well, no, we recognize that. Well, we recognize that, you know, that those things have happened, but at the same time, and we should be, shouldn't be so much about dwelling on what happened in the past, but pressing towards the future. And I think one of the things that hinders folks is you keep looking at people as if there's a such thing as different races.
Right.
You know, so
right,
as if we had, and, you know, and Vody, I think, oh my goodness, I can't remember the name of that sermon. He had a sermon where he took it back to like Exodus, and he was like, man, look, you know, not necessarily Exodus, but he took about the Genesis, I believe, where you say, man, look at this. You may, if you notice, man, like all the civilization comes from Noah and his three sons. And even before that, all the civilization comes from Adam and Eve. So it's, it's, you know, when you talk about race, man, like really there aren't different races. Racism is a social construct to understand the different prejudices between people. You know, it's something that, it's how people understand discrimination by calling it racism. But really, truth be told, like when I say that there's no such thing as racism, I'm saying it in a sense that in order to be truly racist, you'd have to hate everybody, including yourself, you know, as opposed to hating just a group of people. Now, you can be discriminatory, you can be prejudiced and this, that, and the other, you know, but I think what it seems to me is that in the name of social justice, people tend to forget that we are all born with this, with the common dilemma of sin, and we're all in need. We all are in need of the Savior, Jesus Christ. And if we're not looking at the fact that we all have this sin issue and we're looking at all these other issues, then it's like we're, it's almost like we're missing a point and we're not keeping the gospel the main thing. And I mean, we talked about this before, and I'm gonna just say this, and I'm gonna shut up. I know I talk a lot. But like I noticed there was somebody who was online talking about, you know, saying that the They would brush off the answer. They would say, oh, it's just an evangelical way of dismissing the situation by saying, just preach the gospel. Well, no, that actually means something, because if we're talking about racism or hatred towards another person, what we're talking about is something that stems from sin. And if we're talking about sin, the only solution to sin is the gospel. Now, mind you, in preaching that gospel, we are walking in obedience to Christ by loving God with the all and loving our neighbor as we, you know, as we love ourselves and so forth. These are the things that the gospel teaches, as well as loving our enemies. So then the question becomes, then it's like, okay, well, why are you sitting here complaining about what your enemy doing as opposed to praying for them and loving them in spite of their hatred towards you? And, you know, that's so real. But nobody wants to deal with that though. So
that's real. Man, that's real.
But what's interesting though is, like, I think that a lot of these cats, they would say that Vody, that camp would say that Vody ain't woke, and he in Africa, like crazy, like he's literally a seminary president in Africa, but they would say that he's not woke. Like that's what's crazy, man.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Hey, man. Got my big homie just chimed in, Mr. Seiko Wood. What's up, big homie?
Hey, what's happening, man? How y'all doing?
We're doing good.
We good, man. I got Barlow and Mr. Chitario on the line, man. And you know, we were kind of talking
like
about
a law firm you got on your phone, man. Barlow and Chitario, that sound like a law firm you got, man.
hey.
Do I got some warrants that you're trying to tell me I need to be paying?
Hey, what's
really going
this
on?
This is the bar, man. This is the bar. So
we're reformed from we're grace firm.
That's right.
Not simply law.
Better.
Yes, sir. But yeah, man, first we were kind of talking about, you know, the upcoming Comics G3, man. Wish you could come. I know you wish you could come too. But anyway, we ain't gonna dwell on that. I don't want you to get salty. But
That's all right.
Yeah. All three of us gonna be there. And we're just talking about, you know, what we would ask certain speakers or whatever. And in that we kind of transitioned into the whole, you know, consciousness and, you know, Black
Liberation Theology.
There you go, Black Liberation. So we started talking about that, man, and you know, I consider myself pretty good at the segue, so I kind of set that up because I knew you was coming in right here at 9:30. But I know you got something coming up. We're gonna talk about that in a minute. But what have you seen as far as social media goes with the Black Reconciliation Camp? You know, the guys that are coming from that side. What have you seen, Seiko, and kind of what is your approach to those social things like that?
Well, y'all, okay, Dwayne, you brought me on this show. Now you asking me a question.
We're ready, man. Hey,
this is probably one of the reasons why I'm not on y'all show too much, because y'all gotta take time to fan the flames of the fire that I start by what I say. So now, if you're asking me what I think about the racial reconciliation among Black people or the racial reconciliation among white people, which one you want me to tackle first?
I'm coming from the Black side. You know, that's what we're seeing the most. But you definitely welcome to hit both sides, man. I ain't scared.
On the black side, it's race baiting. On the Black side, I do not support Reform African American Network. Oops, I shouldn't have said that, but I did. For the simple fact that because it's race baiting. For the simple fact is because, you know, I'm waiting on the opportunity for these gentlemen to invite people like me, you, Barlow, Virgil, and the other brother that you said sound like an Italian sports car with his name.
The new 2017 Trattario.
See, you know what I'm saying? Do we even know his name sound like a race car, man? Or like a nice piece of Italian cake? Come on, man.
The memes are coming.
The memes.
The new tutorial, man. Come on, man. That's sweet there. But no.
Excuse me while I pick my face up off the ground.
But no, you know, I look at it, man. You know, when we think about racial reconciliation, and I don't say this glibly. I don't say this, you know, to minimize it, brother. If we don't preach the gospel. And I'm talking about white folk and Black folk. If we don't preach the gospel and preach the gospel in the same way that our Lord, the risen Lord, preached it and his disciples and the early church, even when there were racial tensions and racial issues going on in the early church, i.e. Acts 6, look at how the early church and the apostles dealt with it. Mm-hmm. So I'll be lying and would be disingenuous to say that there is not racism in this country. But here's the key. Racism is internal. Discrimination is external. You only know that I'm a racist by how I treat you, not by how I think about you. Because unless what I think about you is manifested outwardly, you would never know a person is a racist. It's like you and I would never know a person has lust for the opposite sex or vice versa. So when we talk about this racial stuff and people talking about, you know, Black people don't have enough opportunity or don't have opportunities or this white guilt, what does that mean?
We don't know. White guilt,
white privilege? What are you talking about when you put this on other white brothers and sisters? Now, I get to white folk in just a second. I ain't let them go, because I know some of our white brothers like, get them, brother. Get them. Yeah. Bro.
Hey. Somebody get some. Where I thought I was talking to Seiko. This sounds like Dave Chappelle on here, all these jokes.
I mean, you know, bro, you know, I got some white brothers right now in the background like, man, that brother there, man. He's telling the truth, man. Man, I need to call Seiko, man. Yeah, boy, man. Funny. Tell him. That's what they're saying, but I'll get to them just a second. But the issue right now is we have a lot of Black brothers and sisters, and some of them are starting to question whether or not they're true brothers and sisters. Because if you can keep throwing up the race baiting and throwing up this excuse making and then preoccupying yourself with the cares of this world when my Bible tells me in 2 Timothy 2:4 that no soldier entangles himself in the everyday affairs of life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier? Your priorities are jacked up there.
Mm-hmm.
Your priorities are inverted. Your priorities are messed up. And so if the pattern and course of your life is always about trying to make white people feel guilty for being white or make white people feel guilty for having quote-unquote privileges, let me tell you something, brothers. Now, what I'm about to share with y'all, it's pretty deep. So make sure I have y'all attention, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right? Y'all listening to me?
Okay. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
What year is this?
2017.
Okay. Did any of you get hosed on your way to work?
Get
nope.
Hosed, like H-O-L-E-S?
H-O-S-E-D.
Hosed. Oh, okay. Hosed. Thank you.
No.
Hey.
anyone get bit by dogs?
Nope.
Anyone get accosted by the police, you know, because you're black?
Nope.
Did you have to drink out of a water fountain that said colored?
Nope.
How about sitting, you know, in the back of a restaurant near the kitchen?
Nope.
Okay. No, nope. Are y'all following me so far? You following me so far?
Right there with you.
Okay. If we were to exhume the bodies of our ancestors and they were to have life breathed back into their souls, into their bodies, and we were to ask them, you know, what generation probably has it going on better than the other? do you think that they would probably say that their generation had it going on with the Reconstructionism era and the Jim Crow era and the Civil Rights era? Although, mind you, the black family was more intact during the days of Reconstructionism, during the days of Jim Crow, and during the days of the Civil Rights Movement. If you read Patrick Moynihan's book regarding the Democratic Party, and this man was not a prophet, he was definitely close to being one, because he predicted and gave a clear description of what was going to happen in the next 40 years, the next generation. If this were to persist amongst the black community, amongst the black family. And here we are today, close to 80%, 85% of most households are ran by women. The man is out of the house. The black man is out of the house. Jails are filled with us. And, you know, and here's where Rand runs off at the mouth and don't have an accurate prescription to the problem. They're acting as if the movie The 13th, this documentary The 13th, is accurate. Mm-hmm. No, it's not fully accurate. Yeah, there was racism in this country. Yeah, there was the crack epidemic. But what people don't want to talk about, and even in the documentary, you had black leaders, you had black lawmakers telling the government, telling white lawmakers, and telling the president, Clinton and so forth, that they need to have stiffer penalties for crack.
Mm-hmm.
Than they did for the cocaine, because, you know, come on, bro. Black folk can't afford no cocaine.
Exactly.
We can afford some rocks. We can afford some crack rocks now. We can do that. We may put some on some coke on a key a little bit, but we can pay it off. We can pay in full on some rocks.
All right, we got you, man. We got you.
Okay. So I'm just saying. So the problem is we're acting as if black people are being carted and hauled off to jail for no reason.
Right, right.
That's not true, okay? If you break the law, my Bible tells me in Romans 13 that God's servant does not bear the sword in vain.
Exactly.
The whole purpose of the government is to instill order and to protect the rights of those who obey it. So I say all that to say this. I'm not down with this whole quote-unquote racial reconciliation movement that Rand and other proponents try to push, because it's not according to the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's just not. And then I'm not in support of white folk or white eggshell walking white folk who want to basically, you know, patronize black folk and not want to say, look, get off your behind,
mm-hmm,
and be responsible for yourself. And I'm not being a racist because I tell you that. I'm being real because I'm your brother in Christ. So white people need to understand the same book that you and I read, the Bible, should be the same book that they come from. Paul was a Jew, but he ministered the gospel to Gentiles. And he spoke to the issues of the Gentile churches where he was. And he had no problem telling Gentiles where they needed to step off at. And he definitely didn't have any problems telling Jews where they needed to step off at. Why? Because the authority was not in its pigmentation. The authority was based upon the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave him the power and the authority to say what he said. So if you have the Word of God, and if I have the Word of God, and it's reminding me of a situation back in the day, well, I can say back in the day, maybe a couple years ago, excuse me, a couple years ago, Alex Faith, I'm not sure y'all know who Alex Faith is, you should, from We Live as Kings. He was on an interview, him and Dre Murray were talking on, I think it was on Rapzilla. They interviewed them, you know, some of this whole racial reconciliation thing, racial tension stuff. And Alex Faith said something that I vehemently disagreed with. He said he can't speak to black folks, you know, and tell them anything because he's white. I said, wait a minute. What book, chapter, and verse on that? Right. Of course, I got blocked because, you know, why do folks block me all the time, Dwayne? Why folks keep blocking me?
Hey,
come
man.
On, say something, man. Why do you keep getting blocked, man?
Sometimes, man, when you pour that salt into them wounds, man, to get the burning.
Nah. You just gotta dunk it, man. You can't keep laying it up. That's why they keep blocking you, man.
Right. hey, but here's my question though. My question is how is it that, you know, they could say that they can't, you know, because they're white, they said they can't talk to us, but then like on that same respect, how is it that we're able to talk to them? You know, so, and that's, to me, that points out that double standard that always fall into place, and where it's like, no, they can't say this stuff, but we can.
Yeah.
Like, why? Right. What gives us that right? When really, and again, I'm not saying that I'm the best historian in the world, but the way I understand it is, everything that a white person did to the black person that we can call evil, the black people taught the white people how to do it.
and not only that, but you know, we did our own dirt to each other. But then, that's another story for another. You know,
not just did, but not even in the past tense. It still happens in the present tense. Now, mind you, I'm not saying that excuses anything that comes from a place of hatred from a white person towards a black person. But what I'm saying what I've always been saying is if you're going to be mad about one thing, be mad about it all. And stop using it as, oh, this is a white versus black. Like, no, this is a sinful human versus sinful human issue. And again, just like I said before you came on, Seiko, if we're talking about sin, then we can only talk about one solution to that. Ain't no amount of marches, ain't no amount of so-called racial reconciliation, ain't no amount of speeches, ain't no Al Sharpton or Jesse Jackson's going to fix this. Only thing that's going to fix it is the gospel.
Amen.
Good stuff, but man. Good stuff.
We minimize that because we really don't believe that the gospel is enough. Because if we did, not only would we preach it, but we would practice it and hold people accountable to that same standard of the gospel that they're preaching. So when we say the gospel, I sometimes like to dig in to that, you know, because I hear a lot of us say that, you know, we need to preach the gospel. Okay, yeah, I agree. I totally agree. I just said it myself. But not only do we need to preach it, we need to practice it in life. Not just by our lips, but by our life service. So when we see, case in point, the Bible tells us Paul confronts Peter because Peter was living a duplicitous life, a life of a hypocrite. He said when he saw that what he did was not in line with the gospel, he confronted him. He confronted him, man. He said when he did not see how he was living according to the gospel, this brother, listen, he already met with Cornelius. Met with Cornelius.
Come on.
He got the revelation that there was no distinction between Jew and Gentile when it comes to the faith and it comes to who gets saved. So now, all of a sudden, you backpedaling because you got Jews coming up and you eating, you know, pork rinds and bacon sandwiches and stuff? I mean, what's up with that? So if our life does not line with the gospel, and I'm talking about loving our neighbor as ourselves, I'm talking about loving God, being obedient to his commandment. The first commandment tells us how we ought to love him. And if we love him right, we'll love each other right. So when there's inconsistencies with that, you have the right, brother, to hold me accountable, especially if I do it publicly. Enough of this, hey, fam, you know, hey, Dwayne, man, you know, you should have put me to the side. And you ain't had a problem like that. No, bro, you acted a fool outside. Come on, right. Now. We act like we got whoopings always behind closed doors. Man, nah. You acted a fool outside. Your mom and daddy tore your behind up outside.
Some of my best whippings happened in public.
Come on, man. Yeah.
That's shame, man. That's they were embarrassed. They're shame and pride. They don't want to, you know, do nothing in public, man. And you know, it's so funny because I think last time we had you on Sitka, we kind of talked about that, you know, it was the Stephen the Levite issue or whatever. And it's so funny because, like, naturally, you know, prior to getting a better understanding of, you know, if it's in public, it need to be addressed in public or whatever, you know, just the empathy of me personally, you know, would want to do it to the side because I'm like, well, shoot, if it was me, I wouldn't want nobody to know. But, you know, it's all about being true to the scriptures and following the right patterns, you know, the patterns that Paul gave us and all of that, man. So definitely with you on that, man. So let me talk about what I originally brought you on here for. I know Seiko, when I got Seiko and Barlow in the same building, you know, I know it's going to be some good stuff, man. So, what I wanted to talk to you about, Seiko, you have a debate coming up, with, Hebrew Israelite. And, you know, we talked about Hebrew Israelite on here before. We've had Vocab Malone on here. He's been really, you know, heavy in that game. So I guess my question for you, man, because I'm seeing I'm seeing more and more sound brothers respond to these guys. And I just be honest, it gives me confidence because I got exposed to them when I was still charismatic and all about feelings and stuff. So I guess my question to you, if you don't mind, you know, sharing is, you know, what's going to be your approach and your tactic to this debate?
Well, Dwayne, I'm gonna tell you something, brother. I'm gonna be fast. I'm gonna be smooth, brother. I'm gonna be so quick. I'm gonna be like lightning.
This guy.
What I'm gonna do is what I always do, brother. I'm gonna just give him the word of God. You know, the funny thing about how all of this even went down. I was invited on Zadok Ben Israel's show. Mm-hmm. He had invited me. And to be honest with you, man, it was a very great conversation. Very good conversation. Learned, you know, and understood where this brother was coming from, and he understood where I was coming from. He's not a black Hebrew Israelite in the sense of what Vocab and other brothers have engaged with. And if you heard the show that I had with Zadok, he made that abundantly clear.
Gotcha.
I would be disingenuous. I'll be dishonest if I did not, you know, make sure that in my dealings with Zadok, that I would not classify him as a heretic. I would not classify him as a false brother. There are things that he and I differ on, but it's not an issue to where I would say, okay, this dude is not a true, genuine follower of Christ. So I would say that. But the individual or the gentleman that I'm supposed to be debating on Thursday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern time, I think it is. It was 8:30, or was it at? No, I think it's at 8. Excuse me, at 8. Mm-hmm. At 8 Eastern. So he heard the show, and all of a sudden, man, this came out of nowhere. You know, telling Zadok, oh man, you know, this dude, you know, you couldn't deal with the easy work. And I'm like, easy. You know, so you know, now as a man, you know, you turn around and you look at a guy, who does dude call it easy work?
Right.
In your flesh, right? So,
So
I had to check myself and check my heart, but at the same time, so at first I ignored it, but then I kept reading the timeline, him saying, okay, you know, calling it false teaching, and I said, huh, now I got to step in. Because it's one thing if you're calling me easy work and whatever like that, but then when you start talking about Calvinism as false doctrine, and I'm a false teacher, and you're gonna school me, and you know, all right, okay, well, you know, this ain't Welcome Back, Carter. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, but I ain't got a problem going to class. but I don't have no, and I don't say this to boast. I do not say this to put myself up anywhere. But I have no reason to sit at the feet of someone who does not even understand biblical reform theology.
Right. Right.
Okay? That's so now people can take it how they want to take it, but if you don't know sound doctrine, it's not that much you can teach me. Mm-hmm. Other than how more gracious I have to be with you to help you understand. You don't know what the heck you're talking about. Okay? Other than that, this discussion or debate is not really going to be one, because I already know he's not going to be able to answer the questions that I pose to him.
Mm-hmm.
And no one that I've debated regarding Calvinism or trying to refute Calvinism has ever been able to answer the questions objectively, answer the questions exegetically, answer the questions forthrightly based on the scriptures. They always go around it. And I'm like, no, I'm going to keep you cornered. I'm going to keep you cordoned off where you are going to have to answer the questions to the text that I'm going to present. So he says it's a false doctrine. Brother, the burden of proof is going to be on him.
Right.
It's
that's
not going to be on me. You know what I'm saying? I don't believe Calvinism is false doctrine. Matter of fact, it ain't even about Calvin. It's about Christ. Because exactly. Calvin didn't invent this. All his followers systematized it. I'm pretty sure y'all mm-hmm. already know the history behind it. For those who may not mm-hmm. know, so this is not me defending Calvin. This is me defending the teaching of Christ that has come down through our Lord and from our Lord to and through men like a Calvin or a Luther or a Zwingli, you know, of that nature. So this is not even a issue with me. So when he says Calvinism has to get checked at the door, subverting to many souls, he's gonna have to defend that.
Right.
What teachings of Calvinism are you trying to say that it's subverting many souls, that you have to expose it for what it is as false doctrine? See, there's so many statements and so many assertions and accusations that I'm going to present to him that he's gonna have to defend book, chapter, and verse. I don't care about what he perceives Calvinism to be. He's going to have mm-hmm. to show me in scripture, how do you exegete rightly John 6:44? How do you exegete rightly John 1:12 and 13? How do you exegete rightly Ephesians 1, Ephesians 2, 2 Thessalonians 2:13,
Titus 3:9,
Titus 3:5,
Ezekiel 36,
right? Isaiah 10, Isaiah 45. I mean, you're gonna have to answer some questions, bro.
Yeah,
you're gonna have to answer some questions, and so
but you know,
Romans 9, Romans 8.
Come on,
but I say you know, if he's a Hebrew Israelite, and I know you said the host wasn't, but if the other guy is, you know, it's all gonna be based on some conspiracy theory, mumbo jumbo, Constantine. Pope, you know what I'm saying? You know that's where they coming.
Council of Nicaea.
Yeah, Council of Nicaea, and
yeah,
you already know, fam.
Yeah, and you know the issue of even with all of that, we can talk about the Council of Nicaea. We can talk about the different councils and meetings that met to defend the mm-hmm. teachings and the doctrines that we hold dear. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
But at the end of the day, you're saying that this belief system called Calvinism is false, is heretical. I'm going to force him to show me book, chapter, and verse. He can go through all the extra biblical writings and books and councils and meetings and conspiracies that he thinks that they are. I'm going to hold him to the canon, because my mm-hmm. thing is this. It's the canon of Scripture. It's the Word of God that's the final authority. It's not the Council of Nicaea. It's not the Council of Mysia. It is the Council of the Living God. The Word of God stands firm. You feel me? So
yes, sir.
So we can have that discussion. But the bottom line is, I'm going to present questions. And so, right. I you know, and I've had debates with people who either were Arminian or people who did not believe regarding the doctrines of grace. And but this is the first time I've ever been called a false teacher. You know, gotcha. In the sense of because I'm quote unquote a Calvinist. And so even with that term, you know, I identify with a theological grid by which, you know, that name or that system derives itself from. But I don't right. walk around saying I'm a Calvinist. I'm not
right.
That violates 1 Corinthians 1. That violates 1 Corinthians 3. It's not about that. But right. neither do I back up and apologize for saying, hey, you know, if that's the system that you're seeing and that you're understanding as being Calvinism, that's fine. But a lot of people confuse Calvinism with hyper-Calvinism.
Oh, yeah, most
and,
definitely.
And I believe, and I'm just going to give the gentleman the benefit of the doubt to assume. I'm going to assume the best of this guy. Mm-hmm. I'm going to assume the best of this guy. He's probably, you know, aligning me with a hyper-Calvinist. And so
right.
my goal is just to share truth. My goal is just to present it. It's going to be his responsibility and those who listen and hear that, hey, what I'm saying, you can defend it based on the scriptures or you can deny it. But you can't say that the scriptures are not clear once it's being presented at night.
Right, right. That's real, man. So you said it's going to be a Google Hangout, so I'm assuming it's going to be probably a YouTube afterwards.
Yes, sir.
This show won't broadcast until next Tuesday, so make sure you guys follow Seiko Woods on Twitter and find him on Facebook. He'll repost it. I'll repost it. Make sure you guys check this out, man. Seiko, we appreciate you coming on and being Seiko, man. You know, there's only one, and we appreciate you, man. Here at the bar, man. We're gonna let you chop out of here, man. But thank you for your time, man. And I'll let you get back to your family, man.
I appreciate it, man. Love you, brothers, man. Y'all take care.
All right, man. Later. All right. So that was our good brother Seiko. Yes, sir. It's only one of them. What's up, Barlow? You ready to say something?
Nah, man. I'm just saying, man, you know, it's something about them preachers, man. Once you get them to talking.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. They love to talk. Ain't that right, Tatario?
Man, listen.
Hey, baby, you know,
he questions I wanted to ask him. I had to hold him. I'd be good.
Bro, if you would have asked any questions, Seiko know that it had been another 2 hours. I can't afford 2 hours, man. I tell my wife maybe an hour, 45 minutes. So that's why I was like, we'll hold off because we know that brother can talk for sure. What was you about to say, Barlow?
I was going to say, man, like he was talking good. I mean, you know, like everything he said. I can't say that he said anything that I disagree with, you know what I mean? And so hopefully if all goes well and, you know, after that – you know, after he has this debate or discussion or whatever it is, you know, we'll be able to hit on some of the points that came up and surfaced. And I think it's always good to know how to defend sound doctrine that you believe. You know, being able to give an answer to certain stuff, man. And I gotta be honest, you know, like anytime I talk to anybody who has something to say against Reformed theology, I gotta be honest, they have good questions. I think they have some of them have legitimate questions. We got a brother that we had on here a few months back who has good questions. The thing is that, you know, be able to answer. And it's like, I can't say that I've ever been at a moment where I wasn't able to answer his question based upon the scripture alone. And the scripture, like, I mean, you can read John Owen and read Luther and whoever, Calvin and all that. You can read all that stuff till you're blue in the face. But quite honest with you, if you study the scriptures enough, you'll find that the answers are there and need some good answers. And I always love to point people to R.C. Sproul at the end of the day, because that man know how to, he knows, he just knows
teacher.
How to teach it.
Yeah, he knows how to teach it. Yeah. Yes, sir.
Him and Lawson. That's another one I'm looking forward to seeing at the G3 conference. Steve Lawson.
Oh, yeah. Steve Lawson. That's my dude, man. I want him on the show so bad, man. I hit him up, and his people was like, man, this dude is stupid busy. I was like, can I get him at a conference? It was like, man, he won't even be still at a conference.
I can tell, man, he probably just all over the place. But, man, I love listening to him. talk and preach, man. And it's just like when he gets up there, he just gets to teaching, and it's just always good stuff, man.
Yeah, good stuff, man. Good stuff.
I agree.
Well, yes, sir, Chitario, that's all you done, man. You ain't said nothing. You still on trial, man. You got to talk. No, I'm just playing, man.
man, when Finkel was on, I was just listening, man. I was zoned in. I had questions, but I was zoned in, man.
Yeah. We'll hook that up here. I'll get him you in the inbox with him. Y'all can do that on the side, because he definitely would get you about 3 hours on that first conversation, especially if you got questions. For sure.
He will do that.
You better believe it. He will talk with you. So I'll hook that up for you, brother. But yeah, man. So I guess as we about to peel out of this joint, man, I appreciate you guys dialing in with me and busting out this quick little show, man. And it's always an honor, Barlow, to have you on with me. I can't say it enough, man. Ready to see you face to face, man. You know,
And
put my arms around you, man, and show you some brotherly love, man. Because it's been years.
I was in the studio tonight. I was telling the brother. I was like, man, like we've been doing ministry for about has it been like 4 years? Four, maybe about five.
I gotta look.
We've been doing this for like almost 5 years, and I have yet to meet you face to face and shake your hands and so forth, man. So, I'm excited, man. I just know, man, we're about to have a great time, an awesome time, and so, yes, sir.
And then, Mr. Chitario, I think I'm gonna bring you back a couple more times, man. Let you be my right hand whenever your schedule permit, man. And we got something going on. Chitario actually gonna ride with me down there, Barlow. So,
sir.
Okay.
I think by the end of G3, I'll be able to make my decision. You know, you got to see the man. You know how he interact and let y'all see him and smell him. You know, we're gonna give him probably the worst hazing that we could think of.
That's all Dwayne, man. I'm gonna let you know that right now, man. I can begin to tell you how long it took for him to stop making Omaha jokes.
You know,
I ain't heard one in a while.
Now you're gonna have to think of.
Say, oh yeah, yeah, you're the Italian car, man. Italian car. The memes are coming, believe it. I've already started looking for some pictures.
Rolling up in the G3 in that new Chitario 2017.
Y'all ain't right, man. Y'all ain't right.
But yeah, man, I appreciate you dialing in with me, boss man. Hanging out with me, man, and I'm ready to hit the road with you and hang out and all that good stuff. Yes, sir. So to my listeners, make sure you guys write us a review, you know, on iTunes, Google Play. Go to the review section and give us an honest 5-star review. yes, I mean, that's just honest. 5 stars, man. I get that from my boys at Doctrine and Devotion. They say that every time. Shout out to Joe Thorne and Jimmy Fowler at Doctrine and Devotion. That's a podcast you need to subscribe to. And if I sound extra sexy tonight, that's just because Joe Thorne blessed me with a new microphone. And big shout out to that dude, man. He just pulled it. It's like, hey, I want you to sound better, man. I think I got an extra. I'm gonna mail it to you. And he did, man. Mailed it with a cigar as well, man. So big shout out to Joe Thorne and Jimmy. Hey, them guys just got mad love. What's up, man?
So just want to go on record and say that sexy was the last thing in my mind.
hey, I don't care, man. I know this mic make me sound delicious, man. So you can cheer.
Hey, you tell another man he sound delicious?
Dwayne got the sauce now with that mic. He got the sauce.
I'm feeling myself.
I brush my shoulders off. But yeah, shout out to those guys, man. Also, like us on Facebook. You know, this podcast actually was birthed out of the Be Not Deceived page, which actually the 29th of this month will be our anniversary. So I know the exact year, Barlow. I think it might be 5 years. But the 29th of January, a couple years back, we started Be Not Deceived. And that birthed this podcast, The Bar, Biblical and Reformed. So we have a Be Not Deceived page. You can search it that way. Then we also have The Bar page. And you can search that by searching Biblical and Reformed. We're also on Twitter. And Instagram. Both of the handles are at the bar underscore podcast. Make sure you like us there, share us, tell people about us, get the word out. It's the bar, man. We in here. I appreciate you guys holding me down tonight. Y'all enjoy the rest of your day and night. God bless you. We out.
Grace and peace.
Bye. This is Todd Friel of Wretched Radio. If you want to tune into something radically different, unlike anything anywhere, tune into Babar. That's right, Babar. Black, Biblical, and Reformed. Nobody is doing that. It only has one B? Never mind.
The Bar. Biblical and Reforming.
For those of us who claim Christ, our authority is the Scripture. For those who don't claim Christ or who claim another, I'd like for them to, we challenge them to explain a standard of truth apart from Scripture. Explain the nature of good and evil apart from the Scripture. You have no context, there's no justification for it, except for the whims of men. And so, man, we stand upon the foundation of the Scripture, sola scriptura, Scripture alone, man.
Doctrine. Yeah, sola scriptura.
Sola scriptura.
Scripture alone. That means Scripture alone. What's your eternal situation for the age of creation? For he laid the foundation, was a plan for expiation. Christ became propitiation, meaning he switched his places on the cross for our disgraces. In the crowd, he saw our faces. Just